What a day that's going to be one day after a while. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for them that love Him. Amen. I tell you, I don't know that we've got everything about heaven written in this book. I think we've got enough of it that sure does make me want to go. I don't know that we know everything about God in this book. I believe He's much bigger. I don't know that you could hem Him up between two lids of a book. I don't believe you can. But we'll understand it better in the by and by. One day after a while, we'll know all about it. Amen. It's a blessing again to be here. Thank the Lord for His Spirit that I can feel in my heart by coming this way. I'm glad I'm saved. On my way home. This world is not my home. There's no need of getting dug in too deep here. A lot of folks has dug real deep here, and they got worldly, and they reckon they're going to stay here forever, but you can't stay here forever. According to the Word of God, this place is going to be destroyed. That's what He said. I believe Peter said it's going to melt with a fervent heat. Everything will burn up. There'll not be a brick standing. Amen. When the Lord gets through with this place, it'll be forever gone. And so you can't stay here. You got to go somewhere. And according to the Word of God, there's only two places a man can go when he leaves here. That's either heaven or hell. If you go to hell, you'll go there as an intruder. Hell was never intended for you. But if you go to heaven, there's plenty of room there. There's room there for you. Heaven or hell, you make the choice. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven that we through Him could go up into heaven. How would have we ever known how to get there had He not come down and showed us the way? We would have never known how to get there. A lot of innovations today where they put men on the moon and they've tried to get them to Mars, and they're trying to get them as far as they can, but it'll take Jesus to get them into heaven. Amen. It's a blessing. Glad I'm saved. Glad I'm here. This sure has been easy preaching for me. Sure has been easy this week. And I want to talk to us out of the book of Exodus tonight in chapter number 13. Read a few verses here. Maybe talk to us on the thoughts on our heart. In Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 17, 18, and 19, when you find your place, let's stand together and honor the Bible. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, again for all Your blessings. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be here. Thank You, Lord, for these that are bowed with us. Lord, You know the need of the hour. We ask You, dear God, that You'd grant it to us one more time. Father, I pray, Lord, that if there be one here that's lost and undone without You, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night, Lord, that conviction would set up in their heart and the drawing power of God to draw them to an altar of repentance, Lord, that they might be saved. We ask You, dear Father, that You'd again, Lord, touch our heart one more time, Lord, to deliver them that You put on my heart, Lord. We ask You again, Father, that You'd touch us, Lord, tonight. Father, anoint us afresh with fresh oil. And give us power to preach one more time. Give us liberty, Lord, how we realize, Father, that there's the necessity of the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, I pray as the Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We ask You now, Lord, to go with us. And Lord, what You do for us, we'll be careful to thank You. And we'll praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now we know tonight, a lot of you Bible readers know this story. It's a big story. This is a story that God had reminded His people not ever forget. I'm glad that when a person gets saved by the grace of God, he'll never forget it. You'll never forget the day when God delivered you out of your sin's bondage. There've been some times, now the Bible tells us that a man could get so far back into his sin that if it were possible, he would even forget that he had been purged. I'm glad it's not possible, aren't you? I'm glad that when the Lord puts the Holy Ghost in a man, he stays there. He's sealed unto the day of redemption. You'll never forget that day. I'm glad tonight that that day is forever registered in heaven. I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If I lose my mind, I'll never lose my position in Christ Jesus. Amen. A lot of folks today may lose their mind, but you'll never lose your salvation. Amen. It doesn't make any difference how you believe that. It doesn't make any difference to me. But I'm going to stay with the Word of God. I believe the same God that's able to save us is able to keep us. If you are serving a God tonight that will not get you from here to there, I'd hunt another God. Amen. He delivers us from bondage. You'll never forget that day. The Lord told the Israel, told them not to forget this day. You remember he told them to take that blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And he said, you go into the house and you eat that lamb. Amen. And they ate it. Every household, a lamb, it filled them with the Lamb of God. Amen. And so tonight, that was to be remembered. You remember what Jesus said. He said that as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. We as a church today, we have a memorial of the death, burial, and resurrection of our blessed Savior. That we'd never forget what he done, the Lamb of God, for us on Calvary's cross. When he died for our sin and delivered him who was lost from their sin. And so we come to the communion table and the wine or the fruit of the vine representing the blood of Jesus. And then we see the bread broken, representing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we remember that he told us that we'd eat this anew when we come into his kingdom. And we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, he's going to step out on the cloud of glory. You remember when he left here, there's a cloud came down and got him and carried him away. And the Bible said the disciples were looking and gazing upward, and the angels said, that same Jesus that you see going away in the cloud shall in like manner come again. That cloud that carried him away, gonna bring him back one day. Amen. Don't you ever forget what Jesus had done for you. Amen. That alone is enough to praise his holy name throughout all eternity. I'll never forget the day that he delivered you. And now the Bible tells us here on this glorious day that God had gathered his people together and now he's taken them out of Egypt. I remember when the Lord saved me, deep in sin, in the bondage and the shame of sin. The Bible said, whom the Son set free, he's free indeed. It was just as if sin had me in bondage and I was burdened down with a load of sin. But Jesus came and he took it away of that burden. Hallelujah! That bondage, he set us free. Only the Lord can do that for you tonight. You've tried everything in the world to change. You've turned over a new leaf. And you've tried to quit cussing. You've tried to quit drinking. You've tried to quit carousing around. But only to find yourself back under the bondage of sin. Sin is a great burden. But the Lord Jesus came to lift that burden from your soul tonight. If you'll trust in him, my friend, you can leave here freed from the bondage of your sin tonight. Deliverance. Deliverance. Now Pharaoh, you remember how the Bible tells us that now the children of Israel had been brought down into Egypt by reason of famine. Amen. And you remember Joseph, and you know the story. I don't want to get way back into all of that and bring you up to it, but how they found themselves in Egypt. 70 souls had now in Egypt, and the Pharaoh had them under bondage, had them enslaved there at Egypt. And they'd been there, the Bible said, for 430 years. They had been in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine being in that place that long? I can't imagine that. But I'm telling you tonight, that was a place of burden and shame. These were the people of God. Amen. They were the children of Jacob. Israel, there in the land of Egypt. God never intended for His people to live in Egypt. He meant for them to live in Canaan land. You remember what Joseph said? He said, God will surely visit you. And when He does, you take my bones up out of Egypt and carry them with you in the land of Canaan. God's got more. He got better for you, amen, than just Egypt. God despised Egypt. Do you know why God despises a sin today? It reminds Him of Egypt. Amen. It reminds Him of Egypt. Did you know there was about 5 pyramids built in America? And every time you look at each pyramid, it's a representation of Egypt. For some reason or another, it's just hard for us to get Egypt out of our mind. But I'm glad one day as a 16-year-old boy, He got Egypt out of my heart. Amen. It took the Lord just a few days to get Israel out of Egypt. But it took Him a long time to get Egypt out of them. I'm going to tell you how they kept on wanting to go back. And then they'd come back to God. Then they'd want to go back and come back to God. But there's one day where God said, it's enough. Amen. I'm a waving goodbye to Egypt and singing I'm living in Canaan now. Woo! Hallelujah. Delivering. Get them out of Egypt. They're headed out of Egypt. You don't have to live there. Amen. You don't have to stay there. You can get out. I look around me and see a lot of Egypt in our world today. I really do. You know where those tattoos come from? Egypt. You know where those weird haircuts come from? Egypt. All that old colored hair and oddball haircuts that come from Egypt. Amen. You know where those earrings and nose rings come from? They come from Egypt. Amen. That's the reason why when God's people see all of that stuff, they just go to quivering because it come out of Egypt. Does it bother you? It bothers me. Amen. And it bothers God. Amen. It reminds Him of Egypt. I don't want to be that same old boy I used to be. When the Lord delivered me out of Egypt, He changed my life, changed my heart, and changed my walk. Amen. Thank God what He does for you, He'll do it right. Amen. You don't have to go back to Egypt. Get out of that place. Pharaoh, the first Pharaoh, respected Joseph. He did. He respected Joseph. You remember what he said? He said, Joseph, go and get your father and get your family and bring them down here and we'll feed them. That's what he said. And he brought them on in. He even set them a place called Goshen, the land of Goshen in Egypt. And how you remember? And so they lived there and they multiplied while there's living there in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. And the Bible tells us then, as they began to multiply, there's another Pharaoh come along. And when he saw them Had he seen that they was multiplying, he said, we better do something about them. They're going to be more of them than they are of us, lest how they rise up and take us over. And so he put them under bondage. Isn't that just like sin? Sin will allure you, and it'll make it look good at the onset. But just as sure as we began to indulge in it, it brings us into captivity. That's the way sin works. And the more they began to be slaves, the more they become enslaved to laboring for sin. Sin will carry you further than you want to go and make you stay longer than you intended to stay. That's exactly what happened to them. And it just wasn't good enough that they were making bricks. He said, now go get the straw, your own straw to make the brick. It's the way sin will do you. Sin does everyone that way. I remember when I was a young boy. I remember when I was in the sixth grade. That's been a long time ago. But I remember when marijuana was introduced to the schoolhouse. And they were coming around to the classes and they were talking about it. And I remember saying, I'll never smoke a marijuana cigarette. I'll never do it in my life. If I have somebody tries to offer me one, I'll beat them up. Well, I don't know what happened, but I got over into the seventh grade in high school, and I got to noticing the little girls were flocking to the potheads. The potheads were popular. And I got to looking, and the pretty girls was running after the potheads and the drunks, and there's avoiding anybody else. And I thought, well, if I was going to have a conversation with any of the little girls, after all, that's what it's about. I mean, we're human beings, ain't we? Amen. And so I thought to myself, I believe I'll try some of that marijuana. And I went and bought me a little matchbox full of it. And the next thing I know, I was a full-fledged dealer. I was selling marijuana in the high school. And I'm telling you, sin won't settle for little until it gets all of you. Amen. And it'll wreck and ruin you and tear your playhouse down and ruin your life and eventually cause you to die and wind up in hell. Sin. That's the way there's a doing. Sin was, Pharaoh was keeping them down. And how you remember the Bible tells us now how God had raised up Moses. Moses is born, and so now God raised him up. And a matter of fact, God put him in Pharaoh's palace. Wound up in Pharaoh's palace. Amen. And when he went into the palace and Pharaoh's daughter taking care of him and he's raised him up, I'm going to put him second in charge of all of Egypt right under Pharaoh. I'm going to think that they were going to possibly even make him a Pharaoh somewhere down the road. They're going to make him king. They had groomed him. I'm telling you, they lifted him up and taught him Egyptian ways and they dressed him up like Egyptian and they gave him that crazy haircut. I'm telling you, but what they couldn't do was get Israel out of him. I mean, when they got through with him, he had went down into where the slaves were, his own people, and he began to see how they were treated. Now you remember, God raised him up, himself a deliverer, to deliver them. After they had been there 430 years, God had not forgot about them. God won't forget about you either. Amen. And so now Moses has grown and now he's run off out into the mountains and the Bible tells us for 40 years and he stayed out there and God was making a shepherd out of him. Egypt tried to make a king out of him, but God is making a shepherd out of him. The Bible tells us that to the Egyptians that the shepherds were despised people, and when God sent Moses down to Pharaoh and Moses looked like a shepherd, walked up into Pharaoh's palace and said, let my people go. Can you imagine what Pharaoh must have done? Pharaoh looked at that shepherd
and said, wait a minute. He said, who do you think you are? He said, I am, said, let my people go. Moses said, who is this I am? I want you to know tonight that Moses, no doubt, I'm sure Moses, and he said he couldn't talk plain. Moses said he couldn't talk plain. I don't know how he, I don't know how he must have sounded when he came over there to Pharaoh. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know if he couldn't, if he had some type of speech impediment. I don't know. But I'm telling you, God took a weak man and made a strong man out of him. God had taken a king and made a shepherd out of him. How the Lord Jesus Christ left all of glory. The Son of God came down into this world to shepherd us, hallelujah, and carry us home. A king become a shepherd. To shepherd his sheep home. Amen. So now, Pharaoh's got them, and Moses said, let them go. He said, who is this God? I don't know anything about this God. I want you to know tonight that those were not Pharaoh's people. They were God's people. Amen. The God said this. He said, God's foundation is sure in this, that God knoweth them that are his. Amen. God knows them that are his. And the Bible tells us now of Pharaoh has says, no, they're my people. And Moses said, no, they're not. They're God's people. And then the showdown had taken place. And God, with a strong arm, amen, begins to work on Pharaoh and gets him to the place to where Pharaoh says, get them people out of here. I want you to know tonight the world don't love you. This world hates you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, this world hates you. It hates you. You're here tonight and all the world will do is eat you up and spit you out. They'll hang around you as long as you can do something for them, as long as you can supply for them, as long as you can play with them. They'll love you. But just a second that you turn to God, they'll hate you. The Bible said that they hated the Lord and they'll hate you. Amen. The world is an enemy to God. There is no fellowship between God and the world. Amen. And we know tonight that God delivers again. And he'll deliver you out of Egypt if you'll trust him tonight. Quickly, I want to mention some things that it'll take to get you out. First of all, it'll take a first step. Amen. It'll take a first step to get out of this place. Nobody else can take that step for you. Your mama's a good one and your daddy's a good one. Your uncle and aunts is a good one. But you'll have to make that first step. You'll have to make that choice. The Bible said that Moses chose to, rather than to suffer, or rather than to, that he chose to rather suffer with the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As he made that choice himself. You'll have to make that choice yourself. I can't make that for you, and nobody else can make it for you. You'll have to take that first step. Now, Egypt was surrounded by desert. I'm satisfied there's probably some times where some of those Israelites got tired of being a slave, and they snuck out of Egypt and ran as far as they could run out in that desert place, and it wouldn't be long till they'd turn around and have to go back. There was no way out. It was just desert. A lot of folks trying to get out, but you're going the wrong way. There ain't a way out. And so they'd come back, and sometimes Pharaoh's armies would run out there and get them. You remember what Moses said? He said, we want to go in the desert on a 3-day journey. 3 days. He wanted to go out there and worship God. And he said, well, Pharaoh said, I'll tell you what, he got to the place where he said, I'll let you go out there and worship God, but you're not going to take none of your children with you. You're going to leave them here. And Moses said, no. When we leave this place, we're taking them all. There's not even going to be a hoof behind. Amen. Every one of us leaving this place. One day after a while, we're going home. Every one of God's children, and not a hoof is going to be left behind. Praise the Lord. You got to take that first step. You got to hate Egypt. Love God. Amen. I remember grabbing that bench, didn't you? You remember that heart pounding? You remember that decision, that choice that you had to make? I'm going to tell you, that was a tough one, wasn't it? That first step is always the toughest. When you was born into this world, how do you remember that first step that you took? Most of you probably don't ever remember that. Your mom and daddy does. Yeah, your mom and daddy remembers your first step. You don't remember it. I remember my first son's first step. That was a glorious day in the McClellan household when my first son took his first step. Me and my wife were just kids. We was about 19 years old, and we anticipated the day. I tell you, we got tired of toting that big one around. He was a fat little old fella, and he was bigger than his mama, and we had to tote him around. We got tired of toting. We couldn't wait till he could go on his own, take his step and walk by himself. But I remember we kept on trying. Somebody said they'll start walking when they're 10 months. Some of them said they'll start walking when they're 11. Some of them said they'll start walking after a year. I was banking on the 10 months. I was hoping that he could walk before he ever got to be a year old. He was wearing us out. And then we got there one Saturday morning, and we've been trying to get him to walk from me to you, and we'd stand him out there, and he'd hang on to us, and he'd try to reach out there. He'd reach out there a little bit, and he'd come on back. He was afraid to take that first step. That's exactly right. Well, he got to the place to where he hung on to the little coffee table, and he'd take a step, but he wouldn't turn loose. He'd hang on to that, and he'd come back. And he'd walk out there, he'd get all shaky-legged, and he'd come back. As long as he had something that he could hang on to, as long as he had a crutch that he could hang on to, he'd hang on to it. I told his mama, I said, I know what'd get him. I said, them little old popsicles in the freezer, that'll always get him. And so I went to the freezer, got him one of them little pop ices. And I sat over there, and boy, when he saw that, them eyes got big. And he looked at that thing, and he stretched his hand out there. But he kept on hanging on, and he'd stretch that hand out there. And I said, nope. I said, you got to turn loose if you want this. In just a minute, he turned loose of that, and he stood there and wobbled just a minute. And then he reached back. I said, come on. Son, I said, you're almost there. And he started crying. He wanted that little Popeye so bad. And in just a minute, he turned that loose. He got to where he wanted that Popeye's more than he wanted that table. And he took that first step. And when he took that first step, he was so proud of himself, he kept a walking. Amen. He's about 40 years old now, and he's still walking. He never has got back to that coffee table. Amen. I tell you tonight, this is much better than that coffee table. All you need to do is turn loose. Amen. And take that first step towards God. That's what they had to do. If they're going to leave Egypt, they're going to have to be willing to take that first step out of Egypt. Now the desert didn't change. These people were gathered around the edge of Egypt, fixing to leave. That desert place didn't change none. They look across that, and they're thinking in their mind, which way are we going? How are we going to get there? Well, I'm going to tell you, suggest to you, the second thing, you're going to have to trust God. You don't know nothing about this salvation. We didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what it was called. When I got saved, I didn't even know you called it saved. I didn't know you got born again. I didn't know the wording of all that stuff. All I knew was I got under conviction. I got scared. I didn't even know it was conviction. I got scared that I was going to die. And that when I died, I was going to go to hell. I got scared, and I heard that there was a place called heaven, and I'd rather go to heaven when I died than go to hell when I died. And the only way that I could get there was to trust God. They had to trust God to walk out of that desert place, right, and that God would lead them to Canaan land. Amen. I tell you, God is... Hey. I didn't know. You didn't know anything about when you got saved, did you? I didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know nothing. I didn't know. I didn't know what you called it. I didn't know how you're supposed to act. How do you act saved? I didn't know. I didn't know anything about that. All I knew was there's a burden rolled away. Yeah. Amen. And the preacher asked me. He said, "Did the Lord save you?" I picked up on that, and I said, "Yeah. Yeah, that's what he done. He saved me." There was a deacon there that was of that church. He told me several years later, he put his arm around me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I had never told you this." He said, "But when you got saved," he said, "I went home and said he never got it." That's what he said. He said, "That boy never got it. I was old, long-haired, shaggy-looking thing. Bell-bottom britches raveled up back in the early 70s. You know how it was. Had about 3 or 4 hairs hanging off my chin. And a little long, bushy hair. I weighed about 96 pounds, soaking wet. Could you imagine? I was really something. I'm telling you, I was really something. How could you imagine me standing up there at that altar? No wonder that feller said, I didn't think you got it. I said, praise God, I got it. Amen. I'm glad that I know that I got it. And I want you to know tonight how that desert place was a wide place and it was a dry place. But God led us out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. I'm living in Canaan now. You're going to have to trust God. He has a plan. God, he sent his son into the world to die for your sins. He done the work so you wouldn't have to. The Bible said, "Cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree." He took upon himself our curse and went to that cross and died for our sins, that we could be delivered from sin's bondage and delivered from the world. And one day after a while, I'll drop this old sinful flesh. You know, you're not my problem. This is my biggest problem right here. Is that your problem? I used to smoke cigarettes. And along the way, every once in a while, this old flesh would say, "Get you one." And I'd say, "Yeah. That's what I need. My nerves are just shot. That's what I need." And I kept thinking, boy, if I could get a hold of a cigarette that long, I'd smoke that thing in about 2 puffs. I mean, that's what the old flesh want to do. And one day, there was this old gentleman who went to church with me, and he smoked a pipe, had cherry blend tobacco in it. Boy, it smelled so good. I'd say, "Get upwind from me and let that blow in my face." I'd sit there and just breathe that cherry blend. And when he passed away, I had his funeral. And his family gave me his old pipe and his half a bag of cherry blend tobacco. I got it in my study at my house. And my flesh always said that if I live to be 90 years old, I'm going to smoke that pipe. I'm going to smoke that pipe because the people's going to say Brother Williams lost his mind anyhow. And this old flesh is always a warning to indulge back in sin. It doesn't love God. When you pick up this Bible, have you ever wondered why? How you'd fall asleep after you read about 3 or 4 verses? Because this flesh don't love this book. Amen. You know why? How you have a real problem and you just, how the lust of the flesh is out there. I remember one time I drove by a car dealership and I seen the prettiest Ford truck I've ever laid my eyes on. I couldn't afford a brand new truck. But I tell you this, something in my mind clicked. I pulled in that new car dealer. I said, can I just go look at that truck? I went and looked at that truck. I went and sat down and it smelt that new upholstery. And the Holy Ghost said, what's wrong with your old one? I said, well, I don't guess there's nothing wrong. He said, get out of here. And I just got out of the truck, got back in mine and left. And this old lust of the flesh just goes after everything. Doesn't it? I'm telling you, everything that the world has to offer, the desires and the lust of the flesh just go after it. But one of these days, this old flesh is going to drop off. I'm going to not have to fight against it anymore. The devil will never bother me again. The world will never try to grab a hold of me again. I'll wave goodbye to a world of sin and go home to be with the Lord forever and forever. You're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to take that first step. But it takes believing. You're going to have faith in God. Hardest thing for you to do is to place your life in His. That's hard to do. It's hard to jump off a high cliff and God telling you He'll catch you when you can't see Him. It's hard to, isn't it? It's hard for us to believe in something we can't see. Now, the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, they had to listen to Moses. And as they were coming out, they didn't get too far out in that wilderness until they began to say, I wish you'd have left us back yonder in Egypt. At least in Egypt we could eat cucumbers and onions. Who in the world, in their right mind, would want to go back to eating cucumbers and onions? Cucumbers make you burp. Onions make your breath stink. I mean, them people got to be crazy to want to go back into Egypt. Am I right? Don't you look at me like that. Some of you like cucumbers and onions, I can tell. But all the food that Egypt had, they had to look down to get it. But everything God sent them come from above. God sent them manna from heaven. Amen. They had to look up to get it. When they got tired of the manna, God sent them quail in the camp. Amen. All the way till they got to the land of Canaan. Here come the quail. I'm telling you tonight, why in the world wouldn't you trust God? Have faith in God. Everything God gives comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Tonight, you're going to have faith in God. Now, while they get a song ready, let me ask you a question. Where are you living? Where are you living? If you die in Egypt, you're going to die and go to hell. There's three places a man can die. He can die either in Egypt, or he can die in the wilderness, or he can die in Canaan. Those three places. If he dies in Egypt, he never has been delivered, and he'll die in his sin and die and go to hell. There are people that are in the wilderness. It's a type of the world, and people die in the world. Now, I believe once saved, always saved, but isn't it a shame when God's people have to die in the world? Is that right? I wouldn't want to die in the world. But then there's Canaan land you can die in. Amen. Moses got to that place, and he looked over into Canaan land. But he couldn't go. But God's people went into Canaan land, and they died. Many of them died living in Canaan. I'm too far down the road to turn back now. I want to see the end of a life down here as a Christian. Amen. And die on the battlefield serving my Lord as a Christian. Tonight, you're here. Are you in Egypt? Are you in the world? Are you living in Canaan? You can get out of Egypt tonight. Would you come while we stand and sing? Would you come?